From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. California has begun month number two of statewide stay-at-home orders, and you can find more about Governor Newsom's sheltering plan for those who are unhoused and at risk at capradio.org. We're going to begin this hour with news from the weekend. There were protests over stay-at-home orders dotting a number of states, including California and Nevada. And there is a protest scheduled at noon today outside the state capitol in Sacramento. Here's Vice President Mike Pence yesterday on the TV news show Meet the Press. He was talking about the marshalling of the American economy for testing supplies and the point of bringing supplies in from all over the world.
And this vast and complex system of testing, using the commercial labs around the country and using hospital and public labs, is a new concept. And so we've been working with governors around the country to make sure that they and their health officials know about all the resources in their states. And we also have deployed a team from Walter Reed that over the last 2 weeks has been calling every single laboratory in the country that can do coronavirus testing. And tomorrow we'll be presenting all of those details to governors so that they can activate those tests in their state.
So the tomorrow that he referred to is actually today. And we might hear about that call from the president with the governors in Gavin Newsom's press conference today at noon. But testing is critical in these steps back toward reopening a local economy, a statewide economy. For many areas, testing is at the top of the roadmap for being able to do this. So let's get back to the vice president for a moment, because he said yesterday that the federal government believes there is a sufficient capacity of testing across the country for any state now to go to phase one, which is the beginning of the process of reopening.
What we're making clear to governors, and I want the American people to know, is that we will continue to do that. While the president has made it clear that we want the governors to implement testing and deploy testing where they deem it's most appropriate in their state, we're going to continue to fully partner with states around the country to increase the supply, to make sure that they have the reagents and the test kits necessary to perform those tests.
Both the vice president and the president took a very calm stance over the weekend on this issue of testing and test supplies. So with that in mind, let me take you back to Saturday. And you're about to hear a clip from the press briefing by California's governor. Gavin Newsom had been asked by a reporter whether California needs more federal assistance with testing.
We need more swabs. We've been very directed and pointed in terms of working with our partners at FEMA to try to procure those swabs. We broadly addressed the issue of reagents and the RNA extraction kits, which were a big problem a few weeks ago. We could be doing exponentially more. Just 24 hours ago, you heard Mark Galley at a press conference yesterday make the point that we, or rather 48 hours ago, made the point we can get up to 95,000 tests a day if we had those additional supply materials on a daily basis above and beyond where we are. Our goal is to get to 25,000 in the next 10 or so days. We had a similar goal to get to 10,000 by April 14th. We've exceeded that. I'm confident we'll get to the 25,000 in the next few weeks, and we want to get substantially higher number in the next month, and we'll be looking for all the support we can get.
So California, Oregon, and Washington have that roadmap for reopening that does begin with a testing benchmark. But testing happens at the local, the city, and the county levels. So we're going to try to get a gauge this morning of what's happening on the front lines. Sacramento County's Director of Public Health Services, Dr. Peter Bielenson, is joining us by phone. And Dr. Bielenson, I'm glad to have you back on Insight this morning. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me where you are in this debate about capacity, what you are able to do, what you would like to be able to do, and where the issue of supplies is in all of that.
Well, the governor is absolutely right. We do not have enough testing available in California or anywhere else around the country, for that matter. We would like to be able to do at least 25,000 to 50,000 tests in the near future of our long-term care facilities, that being nursing homes and assisted living sites, as well as the congregate shelters for homeless, because those are two of the most vulnerable populations, and we really want to be testing them. But we simply do not have enough.
How does this connect for you in this question of reopening or beginning the process toward reopening any area in, let's say, Sacramento County?
Well, we really need to know how many people are positive and potentially are asymptomatic or don't have symptoms but can still be contagious, in which case, obviously, we want to test people who are not symptomatic necessarily. And secondly, we'd love to have antibody tests, which we're still a good month or so away from widespread use, where the antibodies would show up if you're recuperating from the virus and are now immune or potentially immune. So we really need both viral tests and the antibody tests, both of which are woefully inadequate right now.
How many people is the county lab able to test now per day? And give me a sense in numbers of what you wish you could get to.
Yeah, so we're testing about 50 to 100 people per day in our public health lab. We're testing about 190 to 350 people per day in our drive-through, which is run by a group called Verily, which we're taking over this shortly. And then there are probably 200 to 300 or so tests being done through doctor's offices that are sent out to national lab companies that still have significant waiting periods. So we're probably testing close to several hundred people a day, which is up from 50 to 100 people a day about a month and a half ago, but still way too few.
So the governor had said with more supplies, there could be testing of 90,000 people a day. As a public health director, a public health officer, what do you think the state needs to really be able to move forward in the midst of the pandemic in terms of where we are in this first wave?
So we simply need more testing, and we need more testing. The amazing thing is that the rate-limiting step is oftentimes reagent or swabs, which normally cost, I don't know, 6 cents a piece or something like that, but there simply are not enough. And the federal government has not been sending anywhere near enough testing availability to any of the states.
So the vice president talked about every lab that's doing testing in the country being contacted by somebody from Walter Reed, and that information is going to be presented to governors. What kind of interface has your lab had? Were you contacted?
No, we were not. And I think evidence has shown that over the last several weeks to several months, that what's been coming out of Washington has not necessarily been truthful.
I'm looking at your website right now, Sacramento County numbers, which were updated as of yesterday afternoon, show 925 positive cases, 34
yep.
deaths. And
yep.
how accurate, because of either the backlog or the inability to test, how accurate is that number? What do you think the real numbers are?
The real numbers are probably 10 times that. In terms of number of cases, I would guess. I think we've said on your show before, I've said maybe 100 times or 10 to 100 times. It's hard to make a really good estimate because we simply have not been testing virtually any asymptomatic patients, and a large number of the folks with this virus are clearly asymptomatic. And we also are not testing a lot of people who have mild symptoms who are staying home. So we're simply not testing anywhere near the number of people that are truly affected by this, and that would actually make the death rate, the mortality rate, which is about 3% now, right? 34 out of about 1,000 cases in Sacramento County makes about 3% mortality rate. The mortality rate would be much lower if we tested more people, because many more people. We're pretty sure about the number of deaths related to COVID, but we're not sure about the number of cases related to COVID, and we clearly have more.
I will note that far and above the age group with the most positives is 18 to 49. Is that skewed at all by that being the age group that might be most likely to be tested, or is that an accurate picture of how the virus is moving in this region?
It's a combination of that there, because a lot of healthcare workers are being screened, they are an example of patient population of a population that is being screened fairly adequately, not completely adequately. That is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is it's a 30-year age gap from 18 to 49, and the other age categories are 15 to 20 years. So it's if we broke them all out by 20-year increments, it would probably be less.
Dr. Bielenson, I asked you about the interface at the federal level. Can you tell me about the communication with the governor's team at the state level? And is there or is there not a sense that help is on the way, as they say?
So we've been talking very frequently with the head of HHS in the state, Mark Alley, who was referenced in your report just before I got on. And they've been extremely helpful wanting to help as much as possible. The problem is that they get their material from the same place that everybody else does, either the federal government or buying it on the open market. We're literally looking at buying testing on the open market, which is when it should be coming in free from the federal government. So the state is in a similar bind to the one that we're in.
All right, Dr. Bielenson, I appreciate the window and what's happening in Sacramento County, and I'll remind everybody that the stay-at-home orders are in place at least until May 1st. Are you expecting an extension?
We're going to certainly extend it, but there'll probably be some modest opening up of certain things.
Can you put that into a category? What kind of things?
Not quite yet, but we'll have it out by the end of next week.
All right. Thank you very much for your time and the conversation today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Peter Bielenson, the Sacramento County Director of Health Services. Now we're going to Placer County and the Public Health Director, Dr. Amy Sisson. Dr. Sisson, glad to have you back on Insight as well. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Beth. Happy to be here.
Tell me about your testing capacity and give me your overall observation of where you are and where you wish you could be.
Sure. I would say that our testing capacity is improving, but I would agree with Dr. Bielenson that for Placer County, much like Sacramento County and the rest of California, that the testing capacity is not where it needs to be. It is improving. Looking back at our data in terms of tests being conducted by Placer County physicians in Placer County facilities, we had a maximum of 180 tests performed in a single day, which is a significant improvement. But, you know, based on the governor's goal of 25,000 tests a day by the end of April, Placer County is about 1% of California's population, so that would mean Placer County should be able to test 250 people per day by the end of April, and we don't currently have that capacity.
What's preventing you from being at capacity?
Yeah, I think there's several factors. I would echo what Dr. Bielenson said in terms of the testing, the lab supplies, the reagents, as well as the swabs. We were fortunate that we finally saw fulfillment of an order for swabs and what's called viral transport media, the liquid that the swab goes in on its way to the laboratory. We ordered some about 6 weeks ago, and we finally were able to secure that order. So we have enough swabs for at least the short term, but it's not a long-term solution. I'm happy to see that there is some movement to manufacturing swabs at the federal level, basically making some synthetic Q-tips that could be used to collect nasal specimens, and so we would look forward to receiving those. So that's a piece of it, is the specimen collection kits themselves. It's also, the laboratory capacity, both in terms of people and machines, but also the chemicals that those labs need to run every sample, and those have run out several times recently.
Was the order that was fulfilled something that Placer County initiated on its own, or was it done through the state or
That is something that we initiated on our own early on when we recognized that we started the swabbing with zero swabs, and we were fortunate to get some distributed by the Sacramento Public Health Lab, and that's what we had been using. So really just borrowed swabs with their generosity, and so we placed an order and never heard back, and then they showed up about 5 weeks later. So we're very fortunate, and we are returning the favor and distributing those to other county colleagues who have not received their orders yet.
Has someone from Walter Reed from the federal level contacted your county lab to find out your capacity or any information from you?
Yes, Placer County does not have a public health laboratory. We are contracted with the Sacramento County Public Health Laboratory, so there wouldn't have been anyone for them to contact.
All right, Dr. Sisson, thanks for the check-in. You take care.
Absolutely, you too. Thanks, Beth.
Now we're going to get a hospital view. Dr. David Lebarski is joining us. He is Vice Chancellor for Human Health Sciences and Chief Executive Officer for UC Davis Health. Dr. Lebarski, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Sure. Happy to be here.
I know you've been listening into this conversation about testing at the hospital level. Tell me about capacity, where you wish you could be, and what hurdles you're facing.
Right. What you've heard from my colleagues is pretty much the same, although we have very good testing capacity now. We could be running 1,000 tests a day to detect the virus, and the problem is I only have 2,000 swab kits. So I only have essentially 2 days worth of full kits to address this. And we are not getting 1,000 testing kits a day from Roche, who provides this for our high throughput machine. If we actually had the supply chain worked out, and believe me, we work on this every single day, every single hour. If we could just get the supplies that we need, we could be running about 100 tests every 3 hours or so, and we would be able to be the asset to the community that we want to be.
So when you hear this discussion about testing being that number one benchmark and the governor's goal being 25,000 a day for some reopening, and you're staring at just 2,000 test kits right now, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I will say that the state has been trying through their testing task force, which is very dedicated to doing this. The head of our molecular biology lab is part of that task force. They're doing everything possible to secure enough testing swabs and the viral and the transport media. So you have to do the swab in the nose, and then you stick it in a test tube with this media that preserves the virus. They've been doing their darndest to get hold of this, but despite what the federal government says, you can't get it. And their failure to produce a czar for the supply chain for testing continues to befuddle me. This is logistics 101. And when you talk about fighting a war, you can't fight a war if you don't have any ammunition. And it's really, we have a lot of guns, but we have no ammunition. We have no bullets, right? So we're saving our bullets for when we really need them. This is no way to run an army, for sure. I will say this about the number of tests. I think that we can get there relatively easily. We not only can do 1,000 a day, we ordered a second machine that we're simply waiting to travel from Pleasanton, California to our lab, and we would be able to do 2,000 a day. UCSF can already do 2,000 a day, but they're not doing that either because we do not have the test kits or the nasal swabs. And it's not like we're sitting around waiting for someone to drop them from heaven either. We are working on 3D printing to replicate the swabs, and we are directing our Stem Cell Institute to work on replicating the viral transport media so that we can be producing this all in-house. But again, to validate that takes some time.
So can I get just a little deeper into this picture of swabs here? Because at one point in the president's press conference yesterday, he said, swabs and reagent, that's easy. It's the machinery that's much more complicated. But tell me about a swab. Is it a pre-treated swab that's difficult or specialized to process?
No, it's not that hard to do. And I've never heard of running short of swabs before. And the CDC has now come out and said, well, why don't you just use Q-tips? Because they're basically long Q-tips. But they're not made of the same material. They're not spun cotton. It's a slightly different thing. And they haven't been tested to say that if you did it with a Q-tip, it actually would work. So, you know, again, it was a kind of an odd statement, to be quite honest. The ability to do these small issues, again, we know that the swabs and media were being produced just by a couple of factories, one of which is in the U.S., one of which was in Italy. And again, using the Defense Production Act, which the federal government should have done a month ago to assure the completeness of our supply chain. It just amazes me that we continue to do this, because we have the machines, we have the lab personnel, we have the dedication and the ability. We have an incredibly strong state government that has really, really lent its weight to solving all of these problems, but there are some that even they can't solve. And we need to move forward as a nation, because it's not only us, it's the entire nation that needs to get out of this resource-constrained false ceiling for testing.
Then where do you think the state of California is in beginning the process of reopening, just as it stands today with the picture you just outlined and heard from my other guests?
Well, I think that if we could get the testing issue resolved, I mean, again, we're about to start antibody testing, and we have the capacity to test about 1,000 patients a day starting this week. But we're going to start with our own healthcare workforce in order to make sure that we understand the spread of the disease, not only in our own community, but in our most important community, which is our employees, our trainees, our patients, our faculty, and to really get a handle on what the level of immunity might be, both within our institution and within the community. And we're doing this in a scientific manner as an academic medical center and studying whether or not the presence of antibodies will confer immunity and actually prevent anybody from getting the disease in the community. So we have a very robust plan to answer and fill in some of the missing holes that will allow us to reopen. Because the three or four things we must be able to do if we reopen. Number one, we have to see a peak of cases and a reduction. Right now, we have been on an incredibly stable, very low level of COVID-19 patients in hospital in Sac County. So we've been very lucky. But it hasn't turned down so much as been stable at a very low level. We'd like to see that turn down. The second thing we have to be able to do is to test everybody, including close contacts of people who have come down with COVID-19. And we could do that right this second if we simply had the reagents, so we're close. We have to know what the level of immunity is in the community. So knowing how close we are to providing that level of herd immunity, if you will, so that the disease can no longer spread. For this disease, it needs to be about 55%. We don't think we're anywhere near that, but we need to find that out. As for the hospital and the health systems, we have all been cooperating around preparing for surges. We are more than prepared for the level of cases that we have. And even if we opened up in this region, we have a long way to go. For instance, UC Davis still has, you know, we only have a few COVID-19 patients in-house, and we still have 150 empty beds waiting for people who, God forbid, there is a surge. So I think we're very close to getting there, and I'm hopeful that remdesivir is going to turn out to be a treatment drug, and so then we will have therapeutics that will take care of the most severe manifestations of the disease. So all those things combined means I think we're close to getting started.
All right, final few seconds. Is sure. Remdesivir proving to be effective in the patients that you've tried it on?
I don't want to talk about the results before they're released, because we've only done, I believe, 10 or 12 patients here. In Chicago, where they did 113 patients, I believe, because much more severe onslaught of COVID-19 there, there was an accidental leakage of information that suggested it was doing the trick. So I'm very hopeful.
Okay. And has anyone from Walter Reed, anyone on the federal level, contacted UC Davis Health to find out what's happening with your particular testing situation?
No, they have not, to my knowledge, and I've not heard that from my lab personnel either.
All right. Dr. Lebarski, I appreciate your time. This will be an ongoing conversation, so thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and I would just end by saying keep up the physical distancing. It's working, and be optimistic. The governor has laid out a very good plan to get us restarted.
All right. Thanks again. That's Dr. David Lebarski, Vice Chancellor for Human Health Sciences and Chief Executive Officer for UC Davis Health. Again, California's governor will hold another press briefing today. The statewide coverage will be hosted by CAP Radio. It begins at noon. Up next, our Monday Mayor's Conversations, starting with Reno's Mayor Hillary Sheevy. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.